Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I remember just playing music and I'll just be in my socks and I'll just start sessioning or dancing or choreographing or whatever. And because in my mentality, especially through choreography, I love choreographing. I love creating and composing movement to music and finding the relationship between like the actual song and building. You know what I mean?
So artistic.
I love that. And I just remember thinking like, this is a space in which I can build the way I want to, and no one can take it away from me.
That's yes. great.
And that was the only thing I had because I just felt like I had lost everything else.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, I'm Iceman. What's up?
And today we have a very special guest. You may or may not know him, depending on if you watch other people's videos on other channels or his own stuff, or if you're a dancer, or many other reasons why you might know him, but Anthony Lee is in the house.
I'm waving right now. Hi.
You are our first guest in a very long time.
Define a long time.
We got locked down. So we used to have a studio in Los Angeles. And then during lockdown, they closed it. So we had to shoot from home. And when we shot from home, it was like peak COVID. So
I'm your first guest in like 2 years?
Mm-hmm. In like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. So no pressure. But just be like really
just
good because
yeah,
like
all I had to do is come all the way to another state to join this podcast. No big deal.
We don't. We make it really easy for people to be guests on the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so all right. No pressure. Here we go.
How are you feeling? How are you? Happy New Year.
Oh my God. Happy New Year, and thank you for hosting me.
We're so happy to have you.
I spend New Year's here. Turning it to 2022, we came out here to celebrate me and Nina's anniversary and also obviously do some JK work.
Yeah, congrats on your engagement, by the way.
Your fiance.
Thank you, my fiance. Being able to come here and just finally stay at your guys' new house. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, thank bro. You.
I don't know what information everybody
You're
knows or doesn't know.
You're our first guest. Well, we did. They know.
Yeah,
okay.
They know.
We moved. We're in Vegas
they
now.
Moved.
Oh,
They're
and
in
this
Vegas.
Is... the new set.
New set.
Yeah.
100%.
Although there may have been an episode before that you saw it in.
Yeah.
So.
And I did help carry these couches up here, and I just want that to live forever somewhere.
It will.
Let it be known on the record officially that he helped build the
set. A professional dancer helped us move.
You were also the first guest to use the guest room.
And we fornicated all over the place.
I hope you did.
That a boy.
We support it.
Yes. These are great human beings. I keep on pointing as if like people are watching me. But no,
it was
really cool. Thank you for the hospitality. Congratulations again. I think it's so fucking cool that you guys finally made the move. I know, you know, Steve's been talking about it for a long time.
Years.
For years now, you know. He, you know, because of you guys as well, I was also flirting with the idea in my mind and moving. But, you know, apparently I have fiduciary duties to my own company and brand and partners.
We were at one point just flirting and we had responsibilities to things in Los Angeles. And we're like, well, you know, we can't yet. And then... eventually, you know.
Hey, you know, I'm
you
not
tip,
counting it out.
You keep tiptoeing. You keep rendezvousing.
That's good, though. Not counting it out is good. Because we never count. I mean, I was pushing for it the whole time for years. But, yeah, just all lined up at the right time.
The timing has to be right for you to feel confident in like, this is the right decision.
Yeah. Also, just being at a point in your life where your own personal decisions affect other people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like just trying to balance out like right and wrong, but also like this subjective concept of like what you need for yourself and for your future in your life and stuff. So, but I think that's also like what builds character, right? You know what I mean? Being able to like weigh out things and compromise your lifestyle in order to like do right by other people and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Assess so where you are on the spectrum of, do you give too much of yourself, or are you not setting boundaries enough, or do you not, are you too selfish? Are you giving too little? Maybe go a little the other way. It's a fine balance that they don't teach you. There's some shit they don't tell you.
Wow. Good. I love this plug. By the way, I love this whole, who did this?
Oh, thank you. I drew it.
Nikki drew this?
You know, that so art, by the way, if you're not watching the YouTube video, it is our podcast art that's on the on all the platforms, but it was just supposed to be a concept drawing so that like an actual graphic designer could come in and do it
even better.
And then like the people that we had on the team like weren't skilled in that area. They were like more of like vector drawing people.
Hey, you seem like a very do-it-yourself type of person anyway.
100%.
She did this room, dude.
Yeah, I get it. When she decorated for New Year's and all the glitz and glams were out and stuff on the windiest night in Vegas in 10 years or something.
Yeah. That was super windy.
Crazy.
That was really cool. We took photos, the photo booth that she set up, helped us take
on
the photos.
On these same couches.
On these couches, took the photo with us, with me and Nina. Me and Nina have a New Year's photo with Nikki.
Oh, love it. Hell yeah.
It's going to be great.
Memories. We have them forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, back to the idea of Vegas, congratulating you on it and never ruling out the option of eventually inching towards the idea. It's funny. We came out here to try and, quote unquote, lure Steve to come back and be part of the JK show. And yet I feel like 90% of the time we're actually just convincing like me, Ryan, and Nick to move out here.
100%. I mean, dude, Ryan's basically sold. He wants to move real bad. So
you think so?
I do think so. I heard him today. Okay, that's our cat.
Well, there's another guest. He was kind of jealous he wasn't the first guest.
Also was capable of closing the door and now has no exit.
And he locked it. He just locked himself in. Sorry, you're stuck here.
Doesn't know what to do.
Dude, you got started. I mean, you got started all over the place, really, because you're a dancer, obviously. That's how you came up. But you're also like something a little less known about you is that you're a business owner as well. I think a lot of people correlate like the dance crew scene as just like you guys just show up and then you do a dance and then you leave. But like this is like a very involved thing that I wasn't even really aware of until I got to know you.
I love it. That was such a great description of
dancing's it. Dancing's like a really involved thing.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I'm talking as a layman. When I watched like dance stuff like growing up and like even like seeing some YouTube dance stuff, I had no idea what went into it. Or like the fact that you guys built a brand off of it and you have all these different companies associated with it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I didn't even start dancing until college. So it was always just a fun thing. I wanted to do some Michael Jackson stuff, you know, but in high school I even wanted to dance, but literally they're like there was a dance production team at high school. It was all chicks. My sister introduced me to it. There was one dude on the team. He was clearly, you know, not quite out the closet yet.
Yep.
And this was in the 90s, right? In early 2000s. So like the acceptance and the understanding of what that was, especially at a naive and ignorant young age, like it was like not
for
okay
a guy
to be gay, right?
Yes.
So it was kind of like, dude, actually, yeah, I'm not going to dance. And so you put off natural interest because of like really, really stupid social stigmas.
And insecurities.
And total insecurities, right? And then suddenly I go to college and I'm seeing like all these dudes dancing with chicks. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're dancing, but you're cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I started. And then so even graduating college, I was a film major. Dance was not supposed to be a thing. So even thinking about dance as like something to make my career didn't enter my mind space until I had like picked up a sales job. And then I went into a tech company job where I was customer tech support for an internet telephony company. And then from there, I got recruited to go be a sales and marketing director at a fashion brand and clothing. Whoa. And then when I got laid off there for, you know, uncontrollable reasons, but still amicable, then I finally was like, fuck, I'm back home with nothing to show for my life. I'm older now, graduated college, still in debt, and I have no idea what to do, and I don't want to fucking put stuff on my resume and just try and apply for jobs on monster.com.
What was your major?
I was a film major.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
I love that story. So then what, because I feel like a lot of people out there feel like they went out there, they did the traditional thing, they got the job, they did this stuff, and then they're back to square one, they're feeling like a failure. to know that you took that and then turned it around to pursue like what you're really passionate about is exactly what I feel like we encourage people to do.
Yeah.
Is like that, that's your opportunity. Like some people see it as like
that's expressed so beautifully in hindsight. Though.
In hindsight,
in the moment, it's never that glorious, right?
We actually did an episode on survivorship bias too, by the way. People like, are, oh, you can say that now because it worked out for you. But like, I just strongly believe in pursuing it when it's when the timing is
totally,
there.
Totally. And
having no regrets.
I think timing is both such a bitch and also everything. Timing is so important, right? Like it's like, you know, from a very cheesy romantic side, it's like meeting the person that's like meant for you, but like not at the right time. Things not working, blah, 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 right?
Yep.
Like at that time when I was, you know, moving back home after getting like laid off, that was also the time that I had me and my girlfriend of like 4.5 years, who I totally thought was like the one, we also like broke up.
Mm.
Also, you know, all good. And I still like care and love her to this day in great ways. But she... I felt so defeated, you know, going back home and like not having money in the bank and like not having a job at your parents' house and heartbroken.
Oof.
It was it was 2011, bottom. Lowest moment of my entire life, pretty much. I remember needing to pick myself up, pick the pieces back up. And like I said, like applying for jobs, and it was just so, I don't know. I just felt so embarrassed and humiliated, and nobody judged me but myself, right? Just trying to put together a resume, like I said, and apply for jobs. And I even remember going to a few interviews, and one of those basic ass interviews, probably from some shit tech job or something like that. Dude's like, so why do you want to work here? And I didn't have the heart to lie, because in my mind, all I was thinking was like, I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously you're supposed to just bullshit your way through whatever and just try and get the job and have opportunities and options and then make a decision. But I literally sat there and I like probably blank stared for like 15 seconds. I don't know, man.
Whoa.
You know? And I was just like, dude, I'm sorry, dude. And I bounced. And then I was so lost, you know what I mean? It was just so lost. And so what I would do when I was lost and I had nobody else around me, you know, is I would escape through dance, and I would start just playing
like the
music.
Fucking Joker movie?
Yeah, in
kinda,
a psycho,
you know what
way.
I'm like, yeah.
Not like the Joker movie.
Yeah, that's exactly like the Joker movie. That's exactly what he did. Well, but he escaped like in the kind of a crazy, but
less psychotic,
he escaped
but
in a healthy way. Yeah. That was like a tick.
No, he was dead.
It was like a dance tick.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, he's also a super villain and stuff like that. But yeah, other than that part,
yeah,
it was exactly like the Joker movie. I remember just playing music, and I'll just be in my socks, and I'll just start sessioning or dancing or choreographing or whatever. And because in my mentality, especially through choreography, I love choreographing. I love creating and composing movement to music and finding the relationship between like the actual song and building. You know what I mean?
So artistic.
I love that. And I just remember thinking, like, this is a space in which I can build the way I want to, and no one can take it away from me.
That's
yes.
great.
And
that
was the only thing I had, because I just felt like I had lost everything else.
You articulated that so well. I like, that's exactly, oh, that's such the meat and potatoes of everything I think is that life is about, that people overlook, that you're trained not to go towards.
Yeah.
You're trained to find the safety and security. You're trained to, like, not do the things that fill you with joy because it's not stable or whatever.
Right.
And yeah, it's just so great.
And there was just irony in that, because I had no money, right? But I started creating and having all these choreography routines, right? And so I started just cold calling my old buddies from the dance world, you know, people who had like run studios or like hosted workshops and stuff, asking them if they knew anybody who was looking for like a teacher or anybody who wanted me to come out there and train. I would do the whole thing where like, I'll come out and train one time for free, just let people know what's up. I remember getting a like $20 for a workshop and being like, yo, this, I fucking made some money. You know what I mean? And then somebody offered me a weekly class for $20 a week. And I remember thinking at the end of the month, $80, that's a phone bill.
Right.
This is huge. It'll let me fucking still text people while I'm fucking trying to find a job.
Yeah.
Not thinking this was the way.
Right. You're just like, this is a cool little side hustle that I enjoy doing, and it's like some extra cash.
And then one thing leads to another. My escapism turns into my only sustenance. And I'm still not even thinking about career. I just start picking up momentum to a point where it almost like builds confidence because you just go. You don't think about like, I need to hit this goal and I need to do this. You're literally just like, I'm surviving and I just want to do the one thing that makes me feel good because everything else feels like shit.
Yeah, you're present.
Yeah, next thing you know, I'm surviving off of it in a way that like people start realizing, you know, they recognize what I'm doing. People see I'm still in the dance scene. You know, I was dancing in college a lot, but like once I graduated, you know, I wasn't really focusing on it. Now they see me dancing again, videos are starting to come out and blah 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 to promote stuff. And then $20 turns into $25 classes, $25 turns into a $30, you know, thing, or a $100 workshop one time, and suddenly I'm like, yo, I can buy food. I don't have to just live off my mom's food all the time or bum cash for gas. Like,
it reminds me of, do you ever play that game Guitar Hero?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, like you start out, you're playing like the junky backyard shows, and then you're you're just stoked to be playing. You're like, they let us play for free.
Yeah.
And then the next one, you move up, and it's like, oh shit, I got paid like $20 to do this show. And then
you look like such a Guitar Hero girl.
She is. She'll tears it up.
Oh, yeah, I love Guitar Hero. But
she'll play it anywhere too. She'll play it like where it looks like there's live cultures all over the fucking guitar.
I haven't played it a long time.
She plays sick licks on that thing.
I used to play genius level though.
See,
good for real, I'm like really good at Guitar Hero. I can't play guitar, but really good at guitar.
What's like the best video game that you're like the best at?
The best video game?
I mean, what are you like the best at? She's
Mario Party god.
Yeah, yeah. Mario Party.
She's a god at Mario Party. It's upsetting and it enrages me.
It is upsetting because it's like mostly luck, but I just am really good at it. Like, I just am always first.
Wow.
And I get like pretty mad if I end up in second.
I get pretty mad at that game in general because I don't think I ever win.
Yeah, well, same.
Yeah, it's not, you're not.
Because I have to play with her usually.
Exactly.
So it's completely sucks for me.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. Real quick, so do you do that still now? Like, if you're like stressed or whatever, do you do the dance alone, or is that,
or
not
now that you're
of,
a professional dancer, you like do something else?
Is
to
that
escape?
Like working?
Yeah, let's go ahead and fast forward to like the real shit, man. It's, I can't wait for the day that I don't have to rely on dance to make money.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I can't wait. So like, in short answer, I think I'm always twitching. I think I'm always moving.
I've seen that. Yeah,
but I'm not dancing with the type of childlike wonder and just pure innocence that I once did.
Mm-hmm.
Did the grind take that away?
I don't think it's like fully away. I think it's just a treat when it shows up X amount of times a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That one random night where it just felt good to just like, you find yourself at a club that you didn't want to be at or something like that because of some other like person's birthday. So then the music just happens to be hitting because the DJ's cool and playing like a certain type of thing, or it's like, you know, and then next thing you know, you're just vibing. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe I danced.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, wait, what are you talking about? You dance every day. It's like, no, I move every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But like to dance.
Like to really get to dance.
And especially nowadays too, because there's no like live performances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much or anything like that, or even like teaching classes consistently, like there's that pocket in between class when you're like teach the combo and then halfway through you got to demo it to the music. And even though you're like, as an educator, you're like, it's not about the demo right now, but it's fucking about the demo. You know what I mean?
The demo?
Like performing that choreography so that people can understand what you just taught them so that they can replicate it.
Cool.
You know, and just having those moments, like they're so few and far between now. So I feel like I do a lot of the work, artists, choreography, submissions and campaigns and stuff, or like social media content for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
But until you're there and you have the nerves where like thousands of people are about to watch you do what you do, like, you know, that's what turned it on in the best parts of it. And I'm not saying that's over. The pandemic definitely did a number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like not having that, the grind, it's what feels like a grind now. It's almost like you're always rehearsing for shows that never happen.
You're a performer. I think we all can relate to this part because I did stand up. Steve did improv. Yep. It was always for audiences and then dancing. We all do digital now, so it's like you still do comedy here and there. We still like, we moved into sketch comedy on YouTube, and then it kept going. You're still doing comedy,
yeah,
but it's just not the same. It's not like,
it's not how you got into it.
You're performing for people alive. You're feeling that energy. You're like reciprocating energy. It's such a different
vibe.
And
those people like whatever is going on in their lives, right? They left their job. They went home. They got ready. They wanted to have a nice night out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
like, it's on you. It's on you to make that sure that that happens, right? Or if you feel like it didn't happen, you're disappointed for them, right? You know? So it's just such a, there's such an interaction.
Yeah.
And a deep level of respect that I always had for audiences that, yeah, it doesn't come through the same way on the internet.
Like, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Not the same way anyway.
Not a complaint because, you know, it's a worldwide thing. Everybody had to experience what they experienced, you know, and some people got hit harder than others. But definitely as a performer that doesn't have to perform or have performances anymore, it's kind of like, it's not quite the same. And you know, it's not like you make those decisions consciously. It's not like, you know, you're like, I came into stand-up comedy and I love this the way it is. And then one day you're like, I'm going to choose to do this to like sell out and commercial. It's just an organic adoption of like new technology, new social, like, you know, the way that people digest media, even like, and you just kind of like swim and you find success by just being able to pivot and adapt. But yeah, of course, naturally, you know, years later, you may be standing on the mountain you've created, but you look back and you're like, whoa, how did I even get here?
Yeah.
But it's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like life is what it is.
No, you know? Dude, I always think about that. Like if I had to get back to where I'm at right now, do I know how I would even do it again? Like, it's just so much.
No, it was so happened. Many little things that pivoted, pivoted. And yeah, it wasn't a conscious choice. No. I love it. I'm very grateful. But I also, yeah, it's not.
This was not the plan.
It was not the plan.
This
was
not the plan for any of us, right? I don't know anybody who just nailed the plan either. Not one person.
Totally.
It's just.
Except for those really, really docile Asian kids who have to do things a certain way because their parents tell them to do it. So they totally replicate the exact trajectory. It's like, you're going to be a dentist. You're going to have a kid by this age. And you're going to be disappointed all the time when I see you.
Love it. Love it.
You're always going to be looking at my glorious moments and being like, holding your baby and just being like, no, dude, that sounds fine.
See, Steve has a family member. I'm not going to say who, but Steve has a family member who I feel like did everything by the freaking book.
Yes.
And this person has the exact life that they planned out from the beginning.
That's true.
But every time I see them, they're tired and sad.
Very true.
They're not, I don't see very much joy.
Yeah. Nobody wants to stick to the plan. It's like fucking going to watch the magic show and then finding out the answer right away.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not
I love it in the moment
and then you never get to enjoy the magic ever again.
It's like knowing the punchline to every joke before they tell the joke.
Yeah, that does suck.
It's boring. It's like everyone thinks they want certainty, but the uncertainty is what makes things exciting.
That's true. I have to say though, I was on stage for a David Copperfield magic trick one time and it was the one that he actually ended up getting sued for later.
What?
Yeah, he actually got sued pretty big time.
Where he made the audience disappear.
Yeah, he made the audience disappear. This is like a big thing that he did at the end of every show. And I got called up on stage, and my girlfriend at the time was like one of the audience members who disappeared. And so as soon as the show is over, like the audience is on stage with us, right? I'm sitting on stage. I see the audience, right? I see my girlfriend. Then all of a sudden, they put the curtain up. Then the audience disappears. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. So then all of a sudden I look in the back of the theater and there's the audience with the spotlight on them. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Well, so as soon as, you know, she gets out, I'm like, how the fuck did they do this trick? I'm like, she's like, David Copperfield told me I can't say anything. And I'm like, you fucking tell me how to do this trick.
You threatened her?
Yeah. She's like, David Copperfield said not to say shit. She's like, I'm not telling you shit. David Copperfield said not to say shit. I'm like, you fucking tell me this trick, bitch.
She didn't tell you?
No, she did, but she was like milking it. She was really enjoying it because it was like me and her family.
I love when Steve really wants to know something.
Oh, God,
I love it so much. You hold it from him as long as possible. It's so fucking fun.
Me and her old man were fucking going in ham. We're like, you fucking tell us this fucking trick. and she had like a signed David Copperfield like headshot. And he was like, hello, I'm David. Please don't share my trick with anyone, okay? Thank you. And yeah, but you know what they did was they had a fucking jetway. Like come out, like, you know, the jetways, like at the airport, they're like accordions.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so they just had a jetway like extend out. They ran the audience through it, and that's what, and they just ran them through the back. They already had a entire hallway that goes underneath the entire amphitheater. And so yeah, so I wanted to know what the fuck the trick is, but he got sued for that later on, which so I felt even more part of the trick.
Well, what did he get sued for?
So they were the audience members were running through the jetway, and like they said that they were like hurried very quickly, and then they tripped and got hurt. Yeah. And then they sued David Copperfield. And dude, if you look at the courtroom photos of David Copperfield, he looks like this is all beneath him. He's like, I refuse to be here.
He's like, they're giving away my trick.
Exactly.
Why didn't he make the lawsuit disappear?
He made the Statue of Liberty disappear. Couldn't make the lawsuit disappear. Hey, nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Statue of Liberty ran through the fucking jetway too.
Yeah, right under the audience.
Damn.
Yeah, anyway, so I like to know the trick. Long story short, I like to know the trick very much, and it drives me fucking nuts. But I do love the wonder. The wonder is what intrigues me, right? But then I want to know what the fuck the answer is.
Well, I also think that, okay, so it's two parts. It's one, like, knowing that you like the wonder, and then also capitalizing on the opportunity to pursue it. You know, a lot of people, I think, don't realize when they're really just not into it anymore. You know, like when they're sticking to their plan, I have to be successful. And they don't even know why they want to continue doing it. They don't even stop to question, like, do I even like this? If I was completely successful at this thing, would I be happy?
That's one of my favorite things to see on Reddit and places too, and like Quora. People are like, I am successful. I have the life that I always wanted. Why am I not happy?
Yeah.
But like, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's too planned out, too methodical.
A pre-planned thing without the feeling involved. I feel like there's two extremes that are both need to be checked. One is when you're too feelings-based and you just go on a whim everywhere and there's no logic involved. And then one where you're like too like...
Rigid
on like, it has to be this way because this is what I planned when I was 8 years old, and it's just has to be that. And then you get there and you're like, fuck, I hate this, but I can't admit that I hate it because now I'm successful.
And that's what I want to ask you about that I find so intriguing about your life, right? You took something that you love, that you use as escapism, you turn it into a business for yourself. You've become wealthy from that. How does one leading to the other maybe take some of the life out of the first part of it? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
Or does it?
Well, if I were to try and semi-visualize it through words, I think we've always used the term the half step, right? It's not like you fully step into something else. You almost like find the next available half step to the thing that you are there in, so that you always kind of have one foot in, one foot out. So taking to my particular circumstance, like dance. Dance is like such a great half-step connection to so many other things of like similar interests. Like, you can't have dance without music. So you could take a half-step into the music industry and figure out stuff because you're already familiar. Or dancers are always like very like fashionable or ahead of the curve, or pay attention to those things or create trends. So like getting into like the fashion industry or creating a clothing company was also like kind of right there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? One thing would help the other. Quite frankly, or like, obviously we built like a dance studio, we built like a dance competition, you know, all that stuff makes sense. But the only thing that was really like almost a damn near full step out was the fucking noodles. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, but even then, that was still to us so organic to who we are, what we do, what we eat all the time. Plus just like the way we Asianified it all and then used our IP to do what we did with it. Like,
if you're newer to Anthony, he has a successful noodle business called Ginger Bang Noodles.
Ginger Bang Noodles.
Get it on Amazon.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Technically in the US only. but you know, so like trying to recognize that dance wasn't the thing for me. It was rather the vehicle that I could use to take myself to any place that I may have wanted to go. And I think it was more about not following your passion. My boy Mike always says, it's not like passions are fleeting, but following your curiosities will usually lead you somewhere that you want to go.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah. So I think recognizing that we were very passionate about dance and are in certain ways still, but like transforming that into a vehicle allowed us to like almost step outside and see where we wanted to go versus being so caught up in it and doing things the way or the right way. You know what I mean? I think that keeps certain like artists almost like stuck in their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for us, like even the business was fun of it. Understanding how far it could go or seeing like what the, you know, if somebody hadn't been there before, it's like, can we get there? Like that joy and that of ambition.
Pushing your limits.
Yeah. Like that was like really what it's always been about that, you know?
Yeah. I see YouTube like that too, you know, like being a YouTuber wasn't a thing when we started on YouTube.
Totally.
Like that, no, people were not making tons of money. Like everyone doing it was doing it because they just like
they liked it,
wanted to do, they liked it. Or there was, for me, I got involved because I needed an acting reel for my agent, and I joined a group that had really good production quality, and I was like, I could use clips from this for my reel, and just kind of evolved from there. But it was like the vehicle where it led me to so many different opportunities, and I've gotten to work with so many cool companies and just all kinds of stuff that I wouldn't have gotten to do if I just stuck with acting. But that being said, I've seen YouTubers that just YouTube, that are just YouTubers, and they get stuck in it where, like, they have a format that did really well and it's doing really well, and they no longer like it. Like, it's not interesting
it
to them anymore.
To happen to almost everybody.
To a lot of successful
YouTubers.
Or even,
YouTubers. YouTube changes.
Yeah, or YouTube changes. The algorithms change.
And you're just,
change.
Like, stuck in the same way that you were doing stuff, but stuff changes around you, and you're, like, trying to play by the old rules, and, like, new rules are being, like, written every day, you know?
Totally. New attention spans are being formed by new
That's
generations.
Huge. You know what's crazy? Like, dance got really, really digitally popularized during the pandemic via like TikTok. You see how TikTok blew up.
True. Yeah.
Because everyone was stuck at home. That's all you could do. Just get on social media, right? And if you wanted to interact with people, you started like copying or like doing challenges and just doing what other people were doing. So we like really quickly went from this age where, like, especially in our dance scene, it's like to innovate was the thing. And now we're suddenly in a space where to imitate is
yes.
the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really is.
And, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't hate it. It's just genuinely different from what I grew up like learning, understanding, developing, even teaching and preaching. And so to like exist in that space today, you kind of have to like re-find yourself in it. You know what I mean? It takes like a huge kind of half a cup of humility and half a cup of like reality, like mm-hmm. is this even where I want to be,
right?
Am I like trying to make content in the same way that like all these 13-year-olds are doing it just so I can stay in the game because that's what I thought I was supposed to do as a dance content creator?
Yes, totally. The humility part's key too, because I remember when I first started doing YouTube stuff, I came in from the comedy scene, like the improv comedy scene, and all those guys were hating on YouTube hard back then, hardcore hating on it. Then they all end up trying to beg me for jobs later. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that thing where this new thing comes out and you're convinced that you're better than that thing. And so you don't participate in it and then you're too late for it. Right.
Totally.
So, because I was at the time, I was like, well, yeah, I know a lot of the content does suck ass for sure. Agreed. Yeah. But like, you know, I don't see why I can't make something on there too. Like, instead of just looking at it, you know, I'm going, well, the content on there sucks ass. If I make videos, therefore, I am associated with all of that. It's like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Having an open mind and then just like diving head first into things and not being insecure about what that will say or do to you is huge and necessary in today's world.
Doing the uncomfortable thing, that's what I like to call it.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's more uncomfortable than it was like, you know, a generation ago, because everybody who does anything is seen and documented and recorded forever now. It is what it is, right? You could tweet about something in a certain way in 2003 and then you're gonna get canceled for it, and you know, in 2048 because you got popular enough for somebody to go back to 2003 and look through your shit.
Yep.
And that's just how it is. So of course there's the discomfort is different.
There's
I want to give it to our forefathers, but you know, maybe they had to like rape, pillage, and plunge and stuff like that in order to like create their opportunity. But for us, it's like we have to be okay with every mistake that we make. But the thing is, everyone's in the same boat, so like diving headfirst is the only way to like accept just the forward, fast-pacing world that we live in if you want to find success.
So true. We're gonna go on a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about some new passions that you have gotten into lately, or curiosities, nice. More curiosities. But buy whatever we tell you to buy.
Please buy it. Buy it.
We need it.
Buy all of it.
We need, in order to have more guests, you just got to do that.
We better hear the word sold out.
Or download
out.
It. Yeah.
All right.
Sold out.
Oh.
Thank you. Wow.
Wow,
I've never
heard that
before. Granted.
Wow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back. Welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. We are still telling you some shit that they don't tell you. We still have our guest Anthony Lee with us. He did not leave us during the break. Thank you so much for sticking around. Getting into some of your new curiosities, this is kind of how you two began talking a lot, right? You kind of connected over this and hit it off with cryptocurrency. And we're not going to go super in depth on the technical stuff, I don't think. We'll touch on some layman's terms that people can understand. I'll be the voice of people that don't get crypto because that role comes natural for me. But if you do want more information on cryptocurrency, if any of this like gels with you, our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, S-T-I-K-K-I. Steve does a crypto live stream at least once a week. It's like a 3-hour live stream called Crypto Corner. And he answers everybody's questions in depth, no matter what tier you are at on the Patreon.
Yeah, come on through. We love to have you. No question is too stupid there either. I know people always say, oh, this is a stupid noob question. I'm like, dude, this is not stupid. I was a noob too. And I had people on Reddit and all these various places help me when I first was getting into the space. So good Lord.
And also, he's made people millionaires.
Well, it feels good, man. Feels good. I'm happy everyone's killing it. Really, really, really. That's the best part of it. Nikki knows.
Yeah, the coins you pick outperform the market all the time when everyone's like freaking out about the market. And I just hear tidbits here and there, but people will be like, oh my God, crypto's, you know, taking a dive. And then I go to you and you're like, no, my coins are still pumping.
Well, we've been beating the market pretty good.
We've been pretty good.
It's been fun.
So I'm going to let you take it away, Steve.
Well, yeah. So you actually had a great, I mean, the way you introduced that's perfect. Because yeah, me and this dude have gotten very close over, we both have a shared curiosity, to use your term, about crypto and just I mean, what got you interested in it?
Oh man. So in 2017 is when I first got into crypto, which also means in 2018 is the first time I ever experienced a bear market and I got fucked. But other than that, right before that, as a new business entrepreneur, blah, 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 right? I don't even want to use that fucking term until I actually really prove myself to my own degree. But on Shit They Don't Tell You, there's so much business 101 you learn when you just try stuff and make mistakes. Mm. And one of the biggest, most simple mistake that I guarantee so many people go through the first time is how to handle your taxes. And I remember the year just prior, I believe, maybe 2016. I think I'm doing the best I've ever done. I am doing the best I've ever done. Financially, opportunity, social media, blah, blah, growth in here, partnerships, networking, yada, 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 right? And then I am a majority co-owner with my partner Mike Song on Kinja's, and taxes come around. And suddenly, I remember I owed maybe $35,000 or something like that.
Been there.
Personally, yeah. Right? And this is my first time owing that much, right?
Did you have a S corp or were you independent contractor, like 1099?
I was As a co-owner, we were filing for our LLC, and then we had to adjust to change it over to an S-Corp afterwards so that we can hopefully pay our taxes more so in employee format, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Again, you don't learn until you get wrecked. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not,
for sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You're like, I should hire someone that knows what they're doing.
I'm trying to think about any moment in my entire education all the way through college where somebody sat me down to learn basic shit, like taxes, from like a real world standpoint.
Exactly.
Not the concept of economy in like Saudi Arabia or some shit, you know what I mean? Or current history. Like, I'm talking about like taxes.
Like, how do I do my taxes?
How do you buy a stock? Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, exactly. That's why we started this podcast, because it's like, why don't they don't teach you shit that it's actually useful?
Yeah.
I mean, the math is useful, well, and like basics are useful. Ways. But,
By design.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, hey, hello, the debt economy that we have, but yeah.
Yeah. So I remember getting, just again, my personality type, I got so upset with just like the world, you know what I mean? More myself, but definitely just like everything, because I thought that I was doing the best I'd ever done, and yet suddenly I'm tapping into my savings account and taking everything, and now I'm poorer than I was the year before.
Mm. Right, right.
And I was like, I don't know how to, like, how do you do this? How do you beat this? Or if anything, I understand why my parents never got farther than this one moment. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, they ran a dry cleaner successfully for over 20 years and it went exactly where it started.
Have you ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad or heard of any of his books?
I have.
Okay.
But you know what? When you read it in your early 20s, you don't actually get it.
Oh.
You can digest like the words and the understand the meaning, but unless you live those experiences, you don't have the wisdom, the actual fruit from that knowledge.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? You just get like fluffed context.
Concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think getting wrecked from that made me try to seek out a number of other things because I was like, I can't win this war of life, you know, just doing this one battle. I need to figure out like 18 other variables that will allow me to figure out how I can become successful.
Like, create passive income
and
all kinds of things that, like, okay, even though I have to pay $35,000 here, I save over here.
Yeah.
So I'm gaining.
And you know what my first thing I decided to do is, of all the things, my first thing, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to stream and pirate movies like never before.
Really?
I was like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. You know, the world is whack. Everybody takes from everybody. Fuck everybody in the industry. I'm just going to fucking take where
I can. Like, I've
been
taken from. I'm going to get mine.
I just remember being
a strange first movie.
I don't know.
So funny.
I don't know. I obviously now, straight up, I pay for every streaming service there is available.
So it's
and
insane.
Totally trying to rectify my
Hey, but at least we cut the cord, right? Now we're paying $260 a month for all the bullshit
no more
streaming
cable,
services.
Just to pay for each individual channel.
That's great.
Yeah. But then enter Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin was fucking this, oh my God. I can't even believe I was trying to like preach about certain things because I just, even though I didn't understand it, I believed in something about it. Kind of a lot of it was maybe like middle figure to the man. Right?
It started there with the Satoshi white paper. That's
there,
the game.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I think it's just
the genesis of it is that.
F you to the man and just trying to figure out something that's like not, you know, the bank's not in control of and whatnot, and IRS and taxes. That's all, honestly, where it came from. But then, you know, believing in something that you don't understand and trying to tell your like buddies about it or your partners or everything like that. And you just realize that you sound like, I don't know, I started sounding like a high school kid who's trying to convert somebody to Christianity just because their pastor said that everybody's gonna go to hell if they're not Christian.
I get it, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody gets that like I do, trust me.
Yeah, so
that's perfect way of putting it.
So it's kinda like that's how I got into it, and then getting wrecked in 2018 by the crypto winter and not really understanding stuff. You know, but I had put so much into it again and just got destroyed. So I kind of got destroyed by taxes in the real world.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, I believe in Bitcoin and all this stuff. And I got destroyed in the crypto winter that I never saw before. And then from there, just being like, all right, I really need to just hold, you know, just bite my lip and just kind of carry on. I told everybody that Bitcoin was a 3-5 year thing anyway, even though I feel like I lost everything right now, but I'm going to believe in it and I'm going to carry on. And then years later, the same time that it starts to, you know, the Bitcoin halving happens and then the bull run starts again, everything starts to pump, things start going great, is enter Steve Green.
Mm.
Right? So, like, I think, remember how I said earlier, timing is everything. Timing's also a bitch, but it's also everything. And I feel like there's nothing that I could have done in my own personal control that would have led me to the destiny in which those things would happen all at the same time, because I didn't just meet Steve because we were fucking into crypto and went on, you know, Reddit and tried to find friends in the classified section. It's also at a time where, because the pandemic happens, I lose a bunch of all my dance gigs and jobs and works and traveling and teaching and studios closed and everything, that I'm finally like, you know, I used to go on JK News as a guest and I would always like travel and stuff, so I'd be inconsistent with my schedule. And anytime I had a pocket of time, I'd come back and I'd message like Tiff or Julia or whoever's like, you know, in charge of hosting and be like, I'm in town. I can get on an episode. So I was a guest for years, literally since the genesis of news. But ironically, still never meeting Steve.
Yeah, I think I worked with you way before on JK Party. We did party,
I hadn't met you yet.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, not once.
And then suddenly, I'm in a position where I'm fucking stuck at home, so I can do JK all the time, and that's where you are. And then suddenly, because I'm at home all the time, I can become a regular. And then suddenly, now we're co-hosts.
True.
You know, and life just kind of pushed us. Like, again, I'm not in control of this moving train. But it all happened at the same time, and I like to listen to the signs, you know? So when Steve, you know, I don't know what it was just fucking beautiful magic and charisma, which is obviously, you know, snagged you up. But there was just something about the conviction in his fucking voice. The very first time we started talking about crypto, I obviously was, you know, in it before from 2017, 2018. Yeah. I was just like, I'm going to hit you up.
I will say, he's a fucking idiot when it comes to a lot of things, going to the store and getting milk. I'm like, how many times do I have to say unsweetened almond milk? It's this, this brand. He'll get sweetened vanilla. He'll get
coconut. This isn't an old bit. I just did this last week. I did this on Monday.
You did mailbox? This 2 days ago.
Yeah. The mailbox today.
I was like, I need coffee creamer, oat milk, coffee creamer. He gets oat milk. I sent a picture. I sent, like, there's nothing else I can do. Anyway.
Because while he's in the aisle, he's looking at his block folio.
Yeah, right, I was.
And he's like, you didn't send it. I'm like, yes, I did. Check your phone. It's he's fine. Like, I didn't get it. I'm like, she's give right. me your phone. And I confiscated it, and I was like, I sent a picture. Anyway, when he knows something, though, he really knows it. Like, he just really knows, like, two things. He really, really knows crypto.
I can't argue with her. She's right.
He like really, really knows cult statistics, like the football team, the Colts. He can quote you games and statistics. He really knows Colts, and he really knows crypto. And anything else, I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't place a bet.
I don't bet on it.
Don't wager. No. If you asked him to do something in the morning, don't bet that it's done by the evening. Don't bet it's done in 2 days. Just don't bet on any of that. But those two things.
Thank you.
He is a genius at them.
Well, that she doesn't use that word all the time, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
What a way to get there. But no, look, I mean, obviously, I've been in this space since 2013. That was my second crypto bear, like winter that I went through. So, and I learned a fuck ton because I got wrecked as well. But it's almost like, because I got wrecked, I say all the time, I got a 7-figure education in crypto, and I really did. And so that's I just, you know, I look for edges in the market. That's all I do. I just try to find little things that people aren't paying attention to. And it's funny too, because I just been doing it this way. And then Nikki got me into like Warren Buffett and stuff, because she's like super big on stocks and options trading and stuff. And we were doing one of these one day, these like sessions that we did for like a year.
Yeah, we took a advanced course.
Yeah, and I heard heard like the instructor talk about how Warren Buffett does this thing called like value investing, where he finds companies that are super undervalued. But they have, like, if you pop the hood, you're like, oh my God, this company has a lot of value. People just aren't recognizing it. They're not paying the right price for it. I'm going to buy it because I found this edge, and I'm going to wait until everyone agrees, and then he becomes right. And that's all I'm doing.
Well, also your edge is he'll tell you to only stick it to your circle of competence.
Yes.
So you're very competent in this area.
Yes.
And so for you, you're able to spot these when something is undervalued, which is a skill a lot of people like me, for example, I have no competence in crypto. I could not spot a scam coin from a good thing. I'd just be like, oh, I guess Bitcoin is good, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, circle of competence, knowing that what you're competent in and what you're not competent in, and really like having that knowledge is also a huge edge. But what's hard about the crypto market that's different from the stock market is Warren Buffett and all other value investors will look at companies that have been around for at least 10 years publicly traded and have like a track record. They have a pattern. They have market history. And so they're evaluating off of like 10 years worth of information. With yours, with crypto, you don't have as much information because it's so new.
Yeah.
So you really have to be competent in that area.
You definitely, I mean, dude, I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything. I think to what you guys have both been saying this whole time, I get off on the curiosity of this stuff. Fucking love it. Can't wait to find out what's next.
It turns you on.
It does. Spark. I can't wait to read what's going to happen tomorrow. It's like an unfolding drama every day that I get to participate in. And so, yeah, it has all my interest, right? Like, it really does. But getting back to what we were talking about, like how we bonded over this stuff. I have had so many people come through JK, sit in your same chair, say that they want to get into crypto, say they're going to hit me up, get my number, never hear one thing, right? But you attack me that night. You're like, hey, what are you doing? Like, hey, is this awkward? I'm actually hitting you up. Is this okay? I'm like, yeah, dude. No, yeah, let's fucking go. And then he's like, hey, you want to get on Zoom? Like, let's go. And then, yeah, just like from that on. And I'm not kidding. I think I talked to Anthony more than I talked to fucking anybody other than my wife.
That's true.
Like, I talk to you like every day.
Whenever I hear him talking on the phone, I'm like, it's either Anthony or Kenny, your brother.
Yeah, Kenny, yeah.
And but you talk differently to both of them. So, like, you're a little bit more
older. He talks with love to his brother?
No.
Because he definitely talks to
No, it's more sibling type of, I don't know, they got like inside
jargon. She's talking about the way
that like
we talk in meme language.
For example, yeah, exactly. It's like meme language. Like, he calls women whamans.
Yeah.
And if he calls women whamans.
My brother does that.
Yeah, exactly. You just kind of mirror and match Kenny's verbiage.
Yeah.
And so I know he's talking to Kenny if he starts talking meme language.
Yeah.
But that's the only clue, because it's only you two on the phone. Those are the only two people.
Yeah, mostly it's on Zoom. We text, Zoom. But yeah, Zoom is our shit. But yeah, no, it's fun. And yeah, it's been good. It's been very informative for me too, because as you got in the space and as you asked me questions, I'm like, you know, I never thought of it like that. Like, you know, like it's very beneficial for me too to have somebody like you, because I see the market through different set of eyes than I've had, and even my little group that I'm in.
Yeah, things get more ingrained when you're teaching too. Like,
yeah,
once you learn something, when you go turn around and teach it, it gets way more ingrained, and the people that you're teaching can have fresh eyes that, like, you haven't seen it because you've been so close to it.
But he didn't know nothing about crypto, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like I entered his life and all of a sudden.
I'm talking about Crypto Corner and
stuff.
Yeah.
Just saying, it was good for me because I didn't have anybody in real life that knew crypto, like, deeper, and so I think just, you know, once I gave you like Luna, right? Like, you started to redo your own research on it, and you started to come spit back at me, and I'm like, oh, he actually reads this shit. This is great. Like, this is like, it's awesome. It changes the game for you, because it helps you go deeper too.
Totally. And like that Warren Buffett thing too, right? Like, they get to see case studies for decades at a time so that they can pull information from something that, like, is way less risky, and there's patterns, there's cycles, there's blah, blah, blah. We've seen this before, blah. Crypto is not like that at all. Everything is either like a brand new concept or, like you said, like a shit coin or something, you know, like scams. Like, you literally are almost walking on a minefield. But at the same time, glory is really right around the corner anywhere you actually dive in.
Fortune favors the bold, as Matt Damon says in all the commercials now.
Or I like crypto. This year, or this past year, scared money don't make money was a very popular and fun one for me.
Yep.
That's a poker term too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a gambling
term. I get it. It's a gambling term. I get it. But being able to have somebody to talk about and bounce like these concepts of finance in ways that have been unprecedented is very, very necessary, because nobody's really done this before. No one is a master of this stuff.
No.
You know, everybody's writing stuff, and some people get lucky, some people are skillful, some people think they're skillful. I don't know. There's a million people out there and with reasons why. things work or why they make decisions that they make. But at the end of the day, you don't know what you're doing ever. Mm-hmm. And you're not in control. Steve always says it. He's not smarter than the market. Anything can happen at any time. You just got to believe in stuff and have the conviction from such a foundational level mm-hmm. that your decisions are unwavering, regardless of like the emotional element that everybody else is processing yes. around you, especially yes. on social media.
Wouldn't you say that's kind of a life lesson too, though? Like, nothing in life is guaranteed. It's all really a gamble. Even people that are like, well, I went to college, I took the safe route. It's not a guarantee. You know, there's no job guarantee out there. Yeah. You don't get pensions anymore. There's like literally no guarantees in life at all. So all you can do is take your best educated guess. You know, do as much research as you can and, you know, kind of like look at other people that are doing the thing you want to do and jump.
Jump. That I think that's the craziest thing if relative to crypto. When you talk about money, especially people's money, mm-hmm. when you talk about like the fucking, you know, national debt and about everybody gets to complain about the same shit. You, the second you talk about money that's like theirs, everything becomes taboo.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And ironically, maybe it's because I wasn't close to Steve at all, that it was so easy. I was fucking zooming on, showing him, I was logging in, showing every transaction. He was looking at the bank account. I had no pride. Because it's like getting into an elevator with somebody that you don't know
yeah.
versus trying to like tell a secret to somebody that you do know.
Yeah. That you're like worried about their judgments because exactly. they know
that's
you.
That's
yeah.
so true.
So I think, again, timing is everything. I called him my crypto sensei, Crypto Steve over here. And I was literally so comfortable just being like, having that humility to just be like, teach me. You know what I mean? Like, let me be your student. I know what I know. But at the same time, like, I want to learn some more and I want to just make some good moves. But it's like, that taboo element when you're talking about people's money, that's also like the hardest part because this is such a huge, back to that religion analogy, it's almost like, oh my God, I really believe in the righteousness of this, but it's so important, the timing, because mm-hmm. I also believe in timing, mm-hmm. that like getting people to understand so that your loved ones can make the right decisions during like a major change in the human ecosystem of finance, it's just... it's overwhelming, you know what yeah. I mean? So right now, I think guys like me and Steve, we got good tunnel vision, keeping our eyes focused.
Zoomed out at the same time.
Yeah, in order to like get the job done, because we know that there's no better case study or evidence than to go to those loved ones and be like, boom, how do you like them apples?
Yeah. Damn right.
That's another you know, Matt Damon reference.
It's straight up, yeah, it's Matt Damon.
Really loving Matt Damon today.
That on the fucking wall. How do you like them apples? I got a number. You know what I mean?
Feels good.
Because that's the only way. That's yeah. the only way your loved ones are going to actually be like, ah, I trust you now.
It shakes right. them loose. Yeah, because mm-hmm. they just think you're some crazy cultist.
They're like, dude, you're a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dude, I'm a fucking, you know, YouTube comedian. It's like, it's just holy shit.
Whenever something involves money, whether it's investing or poker even, or I mean, all kinds of different stocks or real estate or whatever, but if it involves your money, it really will bring to the surface your relationship with money and how you've always dealt with money in the past. And for better or for worse, you know, if you always had a lack of money growing up, you might be very fearful of losing any money that you've managed to get. Even if it doesn't make sense to keep it in a savings account where you're losing 4% a year on inflation on average over the entirety of it
6.2
being in
now.
This year, but like, yeah, on average, at least 4% you're losing. Yeah, your money's just dwindling. Even knowing that people that grew up with a lack of money, have a scarcity mindset about money, and you really have to work on breaking that if you are to make moves and feel confident in what you're doing. And then there's all kinds of different relationships. Some people are really reckless with money because they maybe had a lot of it, or maybe they saw what money could do to people.
Yeah,
and
they don't value it the same
no,
way.
No, yeah. So I heard this one piece of advice, and I can't remember from who. I wish I could.
It was probably from me. Go ahead.
It was probably from Anthony. But to treat money like you're courting it, like you're going on a date, like how would you treat it? Like you would treat it with respect. You would put it in your wallet. You would put it into things that will give you returns, you know, that will be fruitful. You wouldn't spend it on junk or throw it away in the garbage. You would you treat it properly and you treat it well. And
I feel like not everybody wants to answer the same way, but yes, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like people will blame money when things don't work out, where they're like, you know, you're always leaving me, you know, and if you treat your partner like that, we're always accusing them of leaving you, they're going to leave you.
But people will also, you know, because I know people, they'll go, oh yeah, you know, Nikki's really treating money good when she's throwing it on a poker table. But that's play money.
No, it's actually, but it's also a bankroll. So I'm still managing it properly the way I would any other high risk investment, where I only work with 5 to 10% of my bankroll at a time. It's, yeah, like, I wouldn't gamble my entire bankroll.
Exactly. It's
and
play money.
And keep track of all the statistics and stuff. So yeah, even in the gambling play money aspect of things, it's still, I'm still treating it with the respect that I would any other investment. Mm-hmm. Or any other purchase or anything else where I'm only taking a small percentage of it to the high risk level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And money is meant to be spent.
It is.
Like, I don't give a fuck who the fuck says, like,
damn. What did I say? It brings, like, it to the surface.
Damn. Money, it's like, money doesn't solve everything. It fucking helps everything. It sure doesn't solve everything.
Sure does.
But it sure can help. And I also do believe in more money, more problems. I also believe that. But until I get so much money that I have problems, I'll get on the next podcast.
More money,
episode
different
where I have,
problems.
Yeah, yeah, just different problems, right?
But like, people don't really have as much sympathy for your problems, yeah, if you have a lot of money, which is understandable.
The irony is, like, you know, it's one of the things crypto taught me. You can fucking make $100,000 in a day and lose $100,000 in a day. You suddenly actually detach yourself even from real world money. In mentality, in a way that I believe has made me evolve as a human,
mm-hmm,
right? It's like, I used to scrutinize the dollar, and I still do, but I just used to scrutinize it in a way that I think kept my mentality at a lower level.
Mm.
It's like the difference in being like, it's like, no, dude, like, you know, we got to think about budgeting. We got to think about saving. We got to make sure that we minimize these things, blah, 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 versus... Or just fucking go make some more money and call it a day. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they're two separate mentalities. I'm not saying they're, like, super parallel. I don't know if that was a great analogy, but, like, that's literally what has been presented to me in this past year.
Yeah, either a kind of person that's like, oh, I could save money by making my own coffee instead of going to Starbucks every day. Or you're the kind of person that's like, I'm just going to make more money so I can go to Starbucks every day because I
exactly.
like Starbucks.
Exactly. And I know that's, like, I had to, like, that's maybe seems like such a simple concept, and you said it so eloquently, but, like, I didn't know how to evolve into that next step until this past year. You know, like, I was talking to my business partners, and I was like, yo, you know, I'm thinking about moving to Vegas, blah, blah, blah. And I still think it's a cool move in general, you know, because, you know, I could save on California state taxes. Rental property is cheaper out there. Sales tax is cheaper out there, actually, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my one of my mentors, who's my business partner, who's, you know, literally been one of the main key guys, like a very, very close big brother to me. And I have very few big brothers, right? He looks at me, he's like, dude, just fucking make more money, dude.
Love it.
Pay the taxes, just make more money. And I couldn't process it, but I knew he wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I still, to this day, I'll look you guys in the eyes, like, I still don't fully know the meaning of this, but he's giving me something to work on in a way that, like, is, I'm actually detached from money, even though I'm more hungry to make more money than ever.
Well, let me take a crack at it, because Nikki knows I don't care about, especially since I got into crypto, I don't care about money in real life. Like, I view money as something that I can use to make more money.
Well, money is a tool, not a goal. And
it's,
I think,
exactly,
that's
it.
A mindset shift.
Well, that's what it
is. Exactly it. Mm-hmm.
Well,
exactly it. So, and I know very well, which is why I sold my car for crypto, what I can do in mm-hmm. this space. Like, I'm aware of what I can do, and I like to do it. So, but I got into a friendly little argument with somebody a couple years ago at a little house party we were having, and it was about happiness and, like, why this person thought that everyone should be satisfied with his lifestyle, which was like, I have my apartment in San Francisco. I got enough money to go out on the weekends. And, you know, I work during the week. And, like, I don't understand why anyone needs more than that. And, like, we should just, you know, if anybody needs more than that monetarily, they're crazy. And I'm like, well, happiness to me is, like, for example, I want to have a house big enough where I have enough bedrooms for my entire family to come stay for Christmas, and I could have any of my friends come stay anytime. I could, and like me and Nikki could have, like, everybody from JK over, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah.
And house them, bed them. We could go eat, no problem. We're all just having fun. That's happiness to me. So your happiness and my happiness are not the same. It's almost like we have different goals We have different things that we prioritize. Different
things that bring joy.
And there's nothing wrong with either perspective.
Exactly.
There's really nothing.
And I'm rooting for you to get yours, and I'm going to go get mine. And but the idea that you want to control my ability to get mine, I have a problem with. That's all it is. It's just as simple as that. I don't want somebody to decide what I should find joy in.
Right. I agree with that completely.
So that's it for me. Like
I was telling Steve this last night. Like, I literally, this is so fucking funny, I'm just going to be vulnerable about this. I have enough money in my bank account today to pay rent. That's it. Like, I go paycheck to paycheck.
Cash flow wise. Yeah.
I got money in money private and equity and assets. You know what I mean? I got equity in multiple companies. You know, majority share of my own. I'm definitely investing in a lot of other things, whether it be I got my stocks, my Roth IRA, my crypto and stuff like that. But in terms of my actual cash flow in my bank, like, I am broke. Hmm. Like, if Nina wants to buy coffee every day, I'm going to give her shit about it.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. The caveat is delayed gratification. So if you know that going to Starbucks every day is going to hurt your bankroll significantly, again, bankroll management, then you would make your coffee at home, save that extra money in, like, knowing that you're going to take that and use it as leverage to invest in. That's going to make you enough money in the future that you could have as much Starbucks as you want. You could go buy a Starbucks.
Yes, which we're working on right now, because there is a plan. And nothing goes according to plan, just like we said earlier. Yes. But having a plan is, or actually, let's take the word plan out. I understand that I will always live a life where I barely will have the answers, but I'll be happy if I have direction.
Yeah.
Because direction will at least afford me the ability to ask questions that lead to answers.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So same thing, like putting a plan in place and trying your best to follow your own rules to hit those goals while understanding it's merely direction and not the way.
Yes.
You know, what you end up doing is the way, because that was the way for you, but not necessarily the way that you planned it out to be.
Your plan is just like the action steps that you're in control of. There's so many variables you're not in control of, and so much that you haven't learned yet that you didn't even know that you had to, you know, be in control of. So I like that you're not afraid of making mistakes. I think that's the biggest component to all this, is so many people are so scared of making mistakes, when mistakes are your greatest tool to, like, to learn and then become better and then improve and then change course, like alter your course a little bit so that you can succeed. And you know, no one knows all the answers, but you can only work with the information that you are given. And as you make mistakes, you are given more information. And that's such so valuable.
Well, some people do have all the answers, right? And I hear from them a lot. They got wrecked one time. And then they have chosen to brand an entire industry as a scam because they got wrecked.
Those are like guys
and they
that
panic sold.
Their girlfriend cheated on them, who they were in love with. So now all women are hoes.
All women are whores. All women cheat. Yeah. All women lie. And if you think your woman isn't, then she's lying and cheating on you, especially.
It's just a person that lacks critical thinking.
And the world works in such a funny way where there's also scenarios where those people are dead right and they made the best move.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just kind of like, fuck it. Like, you just got to follow your curiosity and have some fun. But some of us like to, you know, be a little petty, be more petty than others. And it really, me and Steve, again, we're joking about this. We're not petty just to be petty. We're petty against blood, against our families.
Oh, yes.
Because, good God, anytime you prove your family wrong, it is like that silent, unsung gratification.
Yes.
Yeah. That only you have the greatest party in your own heart and nobody else gets to join that party, but you're cool with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I go from being 6'4" and a half, which I have to say my half because I'm deeply insecure.
Yeah.
To 6'7" and a half.
I'm 6'1" on a good day when I lay down straight.
There you go.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm 5'12", solid.
5'12". Love it.
But no, I mean, and it's great too, because I feel like it's been awesome for me personally that I have gotten revenge upon my enemies, as I like to say, because it's actually allowed me to heal in a lot of other ways that Nikki's aware of. Like, it's actually allowed me to, like, kind of move on from that, because the anger, that stuff really kind of gives me the fuel that I need to get where I need to go. It's great momentum. But then when I get there, I'm like, okay, now it's
ease
time
off the gas
to ease off the gas. Right. Take a look around. Be thankful. Be glad that you.
Says the guy who's still posting on IG only when he's fucking dunking on fools.
Hey, bro. I'm not going to say that I don't have moments where it still feels incredible, because it does feel incredible. But I am, you know, I am working on dialing back my anger a little bit, only because, dude, it propels me and it helps me a lot.
And because, again, thank you for sharing just the other night, but I think it's because we came from a place where we respect the grind, right? Because we weren't handed things as easy as some people may have been fortunate. And we were also more fortunate than so many others, but, you know, the point is, like, we at least were in such a place where it's like, every fucking dollar counts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just as much as every person counts, every moment counts, yep. every impact and you know, impression that somebody puts on you counts, which is why you hold on to those things as you continue in your journey. And you know what? If you can turn whatever pettiness into fuel, fuck it, dude. Like, who cares? Nobody's out to judge you so much that you have to, like, stop doing what you're doing. It's just a matter of, like, get where you need to get.
Mm-hmm. You can be productive with the things that are wrong with you. I think that's pretty good for now.
Yeah.
Right? I guess those things aren't wrong.
Right, exactly. But I do think you need to work on them eventually, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm starting to try to do now. I definitely have an anger thing, I think.
Yeah. Oh, really? You think?
Yeah, I'm finding.
That's crazy talk.
But also, you know, and I do have to say this too, because I don't think I've talked about this very much, but because I got wrecked, and I learned my seven-figure education. I also deprived myself of a couple of things because I felt I wasn't worthy of them yet, that I now feel that I'm worthy of in a fucked up way.
Like what?
Oh, just like, I mean,
like treating himself nice.
Treating myself well. Like not, you know, like
taking care of himself.
Yeah.
So that's why you've had the same wardrobe on JK.
Oh, 100%, dude. 100%.
Yeah, you got to treat yourself, man.
I know.
You're looking good today, though.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. Well, yeah, it's
probably just the Jabberwocky shirt.
It's my Jabberwocky shirt. It gives me strength. But no, it is time to do that more, right? But it's weird. It's just weird how I operate. Like, I really, you know, even on the night where I had a really good night recently, and I texted somebody who I woke up every day for a long time and thought about how they slighted me and how I was going to take my revenge on them. And when I did it, Nikki's aware of this. Mm-hmm. I texted them and I was like, hey, motherfucker, I did it, bitch. You know what I mean?
How about them apples?
And he congratulated me and it was very sweet. And I was like, wow, all that buildup for that. You know what I mean? I fucking be waiting for that. You know what I mean? But it's just one of those things where it's like, come on, you silly dude. Just fucking chill out a little bit.
Hey, it was your fuel, though. Like
it gave me so much.
We manifest these things and construct these things in our own space for, like, whether it be self-preservation, mm-hmm. right, or like for the bold.
Yes,
you gotta fucking do it. It was like Michael Jordan, right? You saw The Last Dance, right?
Yes.
You just gotta create strife and rivalry from nothing.
It's true.
It's like, what'd you say about me? What did you talk about my mom? It's like, dude, I said you have nice shoes. I'm gonna kill you today. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, sometimes you have to go, like, in such a different mentality, because if you don't have maybe aggressive is the wrong word, but if you don't have a strong ambition for something or desire to do something beyond what anybody in your circle would do, mm-hmm. why do you deserve more?
Right.
You know what I mean? I always think about, like, I always say crazy people do crazy things. Some people are like, dude, that person is crazy, dude. It's like, dude, crazy people do crazy things. Average people don't change the game. Crazy people do. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And, like, there's only, like, one crazy person in every, like, million people. So, like, where are you on the spectrum? Because, like, if you want to just be like everybody else and, like, do what everybody else does.
Yeah, there's that one saying, are you willing to do what others won't to have what others don't?
Yes.
Well, that's exactly.
You are very poetic today.
She is.
I read a lot of books.
I remember, like, I had this rule when I was choreographing, and I thought it was such a basic thing that everybody would have as a creator. I'll be like, if I don't choreograph in this routine, no matter where I am with the music, no matter what song it was, if I don't fucking do something that I've never seen somebody else do before, then it's a shit piece. It's just a regurgitation of everybody else's stuff.
High standards.
That's a high standard for sure.
Yeah.
So in a 12-8 count routine, I just need one move. I just need one moment.
That makes you go, I'm original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the rule.
Yeah.
And, like, even to this day, I still have to try, even if I fail. But, like, I also learned and recognize not everybody tries that. Everybody sometimes feels good because, like, hey, this feels good with the music. And they just go. And it's dope. There's nothing wrong with it. But I just recognize that, oh, we aren't all the same people. And it's not to say that some people deserve more than others. It's just to say that nobody's the same. Therefore, you got to understand where you're at on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Dude, this hour flew by.
Yes.
Isn't it an hour?
Yeah, we are at the end of our episode.
Oh, dang.
But thank you so much, Anthony, for being the first guest on the show in a long time. And also, where can they find you if they want to, you know, see more of you?
I'm at Stevie Nicky's house right now.
That's right.
Come to this address.
No. Honestly, you can find me on IG and stuff like that, @_AnthonyLee_. You can follow the crew @Kinjas. And
get some
the other crew,
noodles.
Just Kidding News. Yeah, that's my crew, you 100%. Know, with Steve. You can follow the, or the Lunatics. I don't know if you're into that shit. But
you better get into it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just been a fun ride, but I got to say, just to end on that note about like where to follow me, I am who I am because of the people that I surround myself with and the greatness that, you know, I choose to continually learn from. So, like, I think if you surround yourself with great people, which is what I've done, that's what you're trying to follow at the end of the day, you know? So.
That's awesome.
Love that.
You do become the average of the five people you see the
most. I thought it was seven, but sure.
It's five.
Oh, okay, you're right.
I don't know. I just read it in a book.
You sounded confident.
Yeah, no, she's confident about it.
I read it in
her.
Several books.
Oh, okay. That's very confident. Yeah. So it's five.
That's why.
Okay, I'm going to say five from now on, and I'm going to be like, I have a friend who read it in several books.
It's five.
It's actually? It's five. All right, guys. Well, check out Anthony on all the different platforms. Get Kinja Bang Noodles on Amazon. And also subscribe if you like the show.
Yeah.
Shit They Don't Tell You. We're on all platforms. You can subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Diggy. It not only helps the podcast, but it also, you can go to Crypto Corner at any level in Patreon, and people are making hella money and also learning how to protect themselves.
That's
when
the
bear market comes.
Yeah, learning how to protect themselves, learning how to navigate the
but
market.
You're building assets, you're building long-term wealth. It's not about a get rich quick thing. I
don't
buy
the Shiba Inus or any of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay. One person said it well. I have a friend who called it generational wealth, because what you do with the decision that you make today will affect the generations that you create.
Exactly.
Look, 19-20% of people in the United States have crypto. If you think you're too late, you don't know how early you are. That's
the ground floor. Convert.
I wish people knew. I wish more people knew. But the best thing about Crypto Corner, I have to say, my favorite thing about Crypto Corner is it gets people talking and thinking more about what they're doing with their money, which is my favorite part about it. Like, I see people all the time go, man, I used to do this and stupid thing and that stupid thing with my money. And then I go, holy shit, I can use that money to make more money. Like, I've had people go, hey, Steve, I'm a millionaire now thanks to you. And I've had people say, hey, man, I just want you to know that I just paid for a new water heater and I just joined like 6 weeks ago and I didn't know what I was going to do. Like stuff like that. It's the scale of all this stuff. It's just beautiful to see people see what they can do with their money. That's what I care about the most. So,
and once you see those little things, like you build confidence.
It grows. It just grows into something that you start to understand your money more and what you can do with it. And the fact that, you know, I was saying this earlier to our buds, I was like, the fact that people think that DeFi is such a scam because I can sit here and I'm making 10% on my crypto that I have staked, right? But then when your credit card tells you that you're going to get 1% cash back, everyone fucking clicks their heels and is like, holy shit, that's so sick. But nobody ever thinks about how. Like, your credit card company is making a fuck ton of money, right? Your bank's making a fuck ton of money off of your money. That's the game. They don't cut you in. And welcome to the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why everyone feels like their money doesn't make the money, because it's that's the system that we have. So DeFi actually allows you to have access to things that help your money make money, and it's not a scam. Like, yes, there are scams in the space, of course, just like in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
How many fucking scams do you see on TV every night?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not any different than our financial system. Our financial system is being replicated on the blockchain. It's that simple. It really is, if you pay attention. But anyway, that's my little dive trip. Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.